In listen-only mode.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to our webinar today. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about your requirements for your DHY paper, and then we're going to actually have a guest speaker present one of her DHY papers for you. So, welcome, everyone. All right, next slide, please. This is a one-stop shopping. You should all be familiar with these particular resources. You've been studying them and using them for the last couple of years, and you're going to need them to work on your DHY paper. So, I'll try to highlight for you in the specific areas where you'll need to go for these resources, but I'm actually going to breeze through many of these slides. I'm actually going to give you, you know, like I always do, a copy of the slides will be available with the recording, so it's not like you have to, you know, start writing these down or taking notes or anything. Okay, next slide, please, Astrid. Okay, as you know from last year, during the dark half of the year, or the DHY as we call it, that's when our study papers are due. They demonstrate to us an understanding of all that you've learned, and they show a practical application of the material studied. Next slide, please, Astrid. I've got some background noise here, so let me put a couple of people. There we go. Okay. All right, you're going to have two options this year. All right, option one is to write a paper, an esoteric profile on a famous person of your choice. It's got to be someone different than one that you've worked on before. But for this particular option, your paper does not include problems of psychology. If you want to do problems of psychology, because they're so much fun to do, then you can choose option two, which will include that, and I'll talk about that in a minute. As a basis, your paper, it's got to include the following five sections that what we've got here. But you can include anything additional that you would like to. All right, make your paper colorful, use photos, video links, diagrams. You've done this before. You know how to do that. And if you need assistance in doing that, ask your mentor to help you put the photos in, put the links in, get you a chart, whatever. Lay it out neatly, clear headings, so the readers are going to be able to find it easily, because, as you know, they all go on campus and are posted there on the student unit. Next slide, please. One of the things you have to do is give us your placement on the path for that individual, and of course your GQ1-1 study paper, Spiritual Goal, Man, and Consciousness. It gave you the settings that we've got here on the slides. Ordinary man, aspirant at the beginning stages of the path, around the first initiation, the disciple who's got consistent spiritual service, still struggling to control the ego. They're around the second initiation, and that initiate who has conquered the ego and involved in world service work past the third initiation. You will have to provide lots and lots of examples from the life of this person, and include your opinion about the initiation that they're approaching. Next slide, please, Astrid. Use the guidelines from your study paper in Great Quest 1-4, the ones on formulating your ray chart and the soul and personality checklist. They'll help you set up the rheological profile. Of course, you guys know by now, physical etheric is either going to be ray 3 or 7, emotional ray 2 or 6, and the mental ray 1, 4, or 5. Personality and soul rays can be any of the seven, and that's where that soul personality checklist comes in handy that you have in your arsenal of resources. Next slide, please, Astrid. Here's a list that may or may not be in one of your study guides, but it's a really good quick approach looking at it. You can also find the complete list of the Ray Virtues, Vices, and Virtues to Acquire in Esoteric Psychology 1, pages 201 to 212. But this shows you the strength and the weaknesses of the rays. It shows you the way that the personality is working out and the soul qualities. For example, Ray 1, the power and will of Aries is the warrior leader, of Leo is the king, ruling by divine right, and of Capricorn, the power and will of the executive. If you look at the soul qualities of those, Aries, the power used in spiritual leadership and intelligent initiative, Leo, spiritual power and love used in spiritual leadership, and Capricorn, power used in wide spiritual governorship and rule. So you can see how they work. They're similar yet different in the different categories that you've got there for each of the rays. Next slide, please, Astrid. And here's the remaining rays. Again, you can see it all laid out by sign, by ray, by strengths, by weaknesses, personality, and soul qualities. Next slide, please. You also are required to do a psychological and spiritual profile of the person, and you want to include a copy of the astrological chart. Your resources for this are your GQ16 Esoteric Astrology Booklet and GQ2-3, your Esoteric Psychology Workbooks. Okay, you need to analyze the three main astrological indicators. You've done this on yourself now. You've done it on individuals for several of your papers. The moon sign, of course, is the prison of the soul. The sun sign, the personality, and the ascendant sign is the emerging soul purpose. How are these working together, or are they competing with each other? Non-astrologers, analyze what you can based on the studies that you've had so far. Astrologers, use what you know. Use the houses, the rulers, the aspects, transits, progressions, anything that you can think of to help you analyze the chart. Okay, next slide, please. Here's a quick reminder of the signs, what rays they transmit, and the exoteric and esoteric rulers. Next slide, please. You want to look at, when you're doing your profiles, you want to look at the rulers and the rays of, as a minimum, the moon, sun, and ascendant. How does that help you understand the person better? Look at the qualities through the rulers. Next slide, please. For those non-astrologers who may not be familiar with the houses, they give us all kinds of clues. And here is here's a natal chart. On the right hand, you see the little columns there. If you're not familiar with the glyphs, they show you what the glyphs are for the signs in the one there on the top, and they show you what the glyphs are for the planets or point in the longer one. It also has it in clear text for you, and then it'll tell you what sign and what house they're in. And if you look at the diagram, Astrid, can you point out on the diagram where the houses are there at the rim, on the inside rim? Sure. Also in the chart. There you go. You know, it goes counterclockwise. The first house, the second house, right, just how Astrid is moving it around. That's how it goes. And the house cusps are identified in the outer wheel, There you go. That's the seventh house cusp. The eighth house cusp is one Taurus, and so on and so forth. So that's how you read that information in the chart if you're going to use the houses. Next slide, please. And of course, you can't use the houses unless you understand what they mean. So the first house, exoterically, is our appearance. It's our ego, it's our temperament, it's our identity. It's the face that we show to the world. The esoteric ascendant, though, is our soul purpose and can be a representative of the head center. The second house is possessions, resources, and values, exoterically. It's our money. Esoterically, it's the same thing at a spiritual level. It's our spiritual resources and our spiritual values. The third house, it's relatives, it's siblings, it's primary education, it's communication. Esoterically, it's the concrete mind, it's education, and it's steps along the path. The fourth house, it's the home, it's our roots, it's our parents, it's our mother. Remember, this is the house of the moon. Esoterically, it's our soul foundation. It's our group soul. It's our ashramic roots. The fifth house, it's hobbies, it's children, it's amusement, it's lovers. Esoterically, it's our soul's creativity. It's the will to serve. It's the causal body. The sixth house, it's our work, it's our health, it's our pets. Esoterically, it's service. Next slide, please, Astrid. Seventh house, relationship, partners, our significant other. Esoterically, it's still relationships, but it's relationships on the higher level and co-servers. The eighth house, it's legacies, it's birth, it's death. Esoterically, it's discipleship, it's rebirth, transformation of some kind, liberation. See how they relate? The exoteric at the higher level relates from the death to the transformation. Ninth house, philosophy, religion, travel, education, teacher. Actually, that's higher education there. Esoteric, it's wisdom, synthesis, religion, and the abstract mind. The tenth house, social status, career, can be the father, the authority figure. Esoteric, it's the hierarchy, it's the plan, it's our ashramic work. The 11th house, friends, clubs, groups. Esoterically, it's our spiritual group. It also represents the new group of world servers. And the 12th house, seclusion, escapism, the unconscious. Esoterically, it's karma, bondage, and resurrection. Next slide, please. Okay, one of your sections is on the moon sign, the prison of the soul. So you're going to want to look at this in a variety of different ways. Lay out the section as described in your instructions for your DHY paper. Talk about how it limits the life of your subject. What psychological transformational work is required of that person to free them from this particular pattern? In your opinion, has your person actually done this work yet? And if you think they have, give examples from their life that relate to this. With initiates who have reached or passed the third initiation, the moon side pattern is going to be related more to their service work rather than to any personal failings that they might have. So, have you found any examples to indicate this might be the case with your subject? Next slide, please, Astrid. Same thing with the sun sign. Lay out the sections as indicated in the instructions for your DHY paper. What traits do you see that this person that are personality related for either the sun sign itself or the personality ray that you're hypothesizing? Do you have examples from their bio that matches these traits? Then give your opinion of how the personality and soul interact. Is the personality nature becoming soul illumined? It appears to be obedient extension of the soul. Or was the personality nature more of an impediment to the soul purpose for this person? Next slide, please. And then do the same thing for the ascendant. Look at the goals of the ascendant. Look at the vocations. Look at anything else that you think illustrates expression of this person's soul purpose. Look at the positive sign qualities that the person has developed and the ones that they still need to develop to bring their personality into the right relation with the soul. How does this fit in with the esoteric keynote for that sign? Next slide, please. Remember the key notes here. And the next slide. They're all there for you. You've used them before. You'll use them again. I hope that you become very familiar with them. Next slide, please. Okay, option two. For those intrepid individuals who wanted to actually tackle the problems of psychology. Next slide, please. Okay, like with option one, the paper, your DHY instructions give you some sections that must be included. Hold on, let me turn on my light here. It got dark on me. You can add additional sections if you choose, and please lay out your paper neatly using clear headings. Next slide, please. Okay, one of the new sections is the hypothetical initiation. It's similar to what the others are doing in optional one, but it's got a little extra twist to it. Okay, so from our GQ1 1-5 study paper on the etheric field and the chakras, and also the esoteric psychology workbook from 2-3, initiation one, that's the transference from the sacral to the throat. This individual is highly intelligent, conscious of their dualism, and ready to tread the path. Pluto and Vulcan rule this initiation as the lower vehicles are being purified. What examples do you see that working out in your subject's life if this is where you place them? Initiation 2, transference from the solar plexus to the heart. The soul is stimulating the ajna and the heart center is opening. The individual is learning to control their astral desire nature. Jupiter, Venus, and Neptune all rule this initiation. If you think your person is at this level, these should be prominent somehow in their chart. Initiation 3, transference from the base to the crown. The mental nature is controlled. And soul is in such control that all the centers are swept into ordered activity. Next slide, please. You will do both the rheological and the astrological profiles. similar to what was required in option one. But in this case, they're going to be a little bit briefer because the focus of this paper is the psychological disorder that you're going to be doing. Next slide, please. You have this information in the etheric field and chakras from GQ1-5 and also in your esoteric psychology workbook from 2-3. Okay. It might be a disorder that has already been reported in the media, or it could be a disorder that you are hypothesizing for these individuals based on certain behaviors. Include examples from their life that support your hypothesis. Cite your references and sources. Place the disorder in one of the categories that you studied. Remember, cleavages, integration, stimulation, the mystics and disciples. Try to link the chakras and rays associated with this disorder, because each chakra has a set of health issues, as we saw in the GQ1-5. How does this tie in with the initiation that you hypothesized they're approaching, and what therapy or advice is indicated for this disorder? Next slide, please. Remember this from your psychology book? You want to be familiar with this. You want to know the information. You want to know the therapies for each of the problems that are identified here, and that's in your psychology workbook. Next slide, please. A lot of this is common sense. A lot of it is just going over what you've already done. I'm just trying to put it all into relationship and perspective on how to lay it out for you. So I hope it isn't too basic for you as I go through this. Health problems that are tied to the chakras. You saw this before. Again, it's the same references that we have. The seven major centers condition a specific area of the physical body. Awakened centers can present this highly electrical nervous system, vitality when the centers are open and they're responsive to energy, and there is a well-balanced endocrine system and resistance to disease when they're working the way they're supposed to. Uneven development, on the other hand, is going to produce all kinds of problems with the system and the glands, leading to undesirable reactions, under or overstimulation, lack of vitality, and that's inevitably going to produce disease. Next slide, please. Okay, you've seen this before, but it's well worth repeating and keeping on hand. The original source from this is listed there on the slide, Esoteric Psychology 2, pages 535 to 539, but it's also listed in your etheric body and chakra study material. So you've got this. Next slide, please. It gives you for all of the centers. So if this is what you're going to be talking about, make sure you're familiar with the relationships that we've got here, and then how you see that working out in the life of the person that you're doing your profile for. Next slide, please. Okay, both papers are going to have a summary and submission requirements. Next slide, please. Summary, as in any good paper, is going to have a closing paragraph that's going to tie it all together, and it put in any final comments that you wish to say. We encourage a lot of direct quotes from your sources to help illustrate your paper. We don't encourage a paper that's nothing but quotes. We want it interspersed within yours, but it can really punctuate a point that you're trying to make to have a quote in there. When you do use quotes, let's follow the standard protocol. Should be in quote marks, and you need to cite your source using footnotes, if possible. If you don't know how to use footnotes, check with your mentor. They can usually help you do that. You also want to include a full bibliography or list of resources at the end of your paper. There is actually an essay writing guide for students. It's available on the Student Union homepage. If you didn't dig it out last year, dig it out this year. Next slide, please. Submission instructions, same as last year. You email your proposal to your mentor for approval before you start. I had a couple of students who didn't do that, and they were told to do another subject once they'd completed their paper because they had not done something that was relevant to the course, unfortunately. Wasn't a profile on a person. Anyway. When your paper is written, you email it to your mentor. Your mentor reviews it, makes suggestions to enhance it, and emails it back to you. This can happen two or three times. When you and your mentor agree on the final draft, then you post it to your reporting thread on campus. Your mentor will apply with the approval, and at that point, it will be posted to the student papers section on campus. As one of you know, sometimes that may take a little while to get there, but we do get it there. And now that we've done this, I want to tell you that the reason I went in great detail with this is because I'm actually looking for volunteers to present their DHY paper to this class in the remaining GQ webinars for this year. So if you would like to do that, please let us know. You don't have to decide tonight. This is something that you can email to us later and say, okay, I'll volunteer for it, and we'll have as many webinars as we need, whether that be one more, two more, or no more. It's up to you. Next slide, please. And now, for your viewing pleasure, we actually have a student presentation for you by Yvonne. Yvonne is in Quest Universal right now, but this is one of her papers for Great Quest. So, Yvonne, let me turn the floor over to you. Next slide, please, Astrid.
Hello, my name is Yvonne Winiger, and this is an esoteric profile of Rudolf Steiner. And I'm going to start with his bio. He was born in 1861 in Croatia, but was then part of Austria-Hungary. He had a deep interest in childhood of everything mechanical, and at age 15, he taught himself analytic geometry, trigonometry, and differential calculus. At the same time, he became a tutor to his classmates in lower grades, and he used the money earned to further his own education. He studied philosophy, mathematics, and natural science. When he was 18 years old, he started teaching school and lived with the families of children he tutored. Most of this biography will be taken from his autobiography called The Story of My Life by Rudolf Steiner. He said, "I have made it clear that even in my childhood, I lived in the spiritual world, as in that which was self-evident to me, but that I had to strive earnestly for everything which pertained to a knowledge of the outer world. For this reason, I am a man slow in development as to all aspects of the physical world." He also said, "In a clear vision, the spiritual individuality of everyone revealed itself to me. Dead men I followed further on their way into the spiritual world. No one would pay any attention to my perceptions of the spiritual world." He struggled with the riddle of man's repeated incarnations and became acquainted with the Theosophical Society and Helen Blavatsky. "Thus, as a young man of 27 years," he said, "I was filled with the questions and riddles concerning the outer life of humanity. While the nature of the soul and its relationship to the spiritual world had taken on in a self-contained conception a more and more definite form with me, I saw in the existence of art the entrance of the world of spirit within the world of sense. The true artist yields himself more or less consciously to the spirit." In 1904, Rudolf Steiner was appointed by Annie Besant to lead the Theosophical Society in Germany and Austria. In 1912, he split with the Theosophical Society over the claim that Krishnamurti was the new vehicle of the Christ. In 1913, he formed his own organization called the Anthroposophical Society. It means the science of the spirit. And he started in 1919 the Waldorf School in Germany, where he was teaching young children. A Waldorf school follows the teachings and educational philosophy of Rudolf Steiner, known as Anthroposophy. This philosophy believes that in order to understand the workings of the universe, people must first have an understanding of humanity. Waldorf schools cover infant education through matriculation from high school. The emphasis in the primary grades is on artistic expression. As the child matures, the process of scientific inquiry and discovery becomes the focus in upper school studies. A Waldorf teacher moves with the students through the primary grades, creating a sense of stability and security. Music and art are central components in a Waldorf education. Children are encouraged to use their imaginations as part of the process of learning and discovery. Another essential difference is Waldorf teachers do not grade the child's work. Instead, there are regular parent-teacher conferences to evaluate the child's progress. By 2012, there were over 1,000 Waldorf schools found all over the world. Next would be Camp Hill Homes for Children and Adults with Developmental Disabilities. Camp Hill communities are residential life-sharing communities and schools for adults and children with developmental disabilities, mental health problems, and other special needs, and they provide services and support for work, learning, and daily living. And this Camp Hill Homes was started for social change and was inspired by Anthroposophy of Rudolf Steiner. They provide services and support for work, learning, and daily living. There are 119 Camp Hill communities in 23 countries in Europe, North America, South Africa, and Asia as of March 2012. They also started biodynamic agriculture, organic farming, engaging non-physical beings and elementals, which reminded me of Philandra and Finhorn. Engaging non-physical beings and elemental forces. Biodynamics is a spiritual, ethical, ecological approach to agriculture, food production, and nutrition. It was first developed in the 1920s based on the spiritual insights and practical suggestions of Rudolf Steiner. Today, biodynamic movement encompasses thousands of successful gardens, farms, and vineyards, and agriculture operations of all kinds and sizes on all continents in a wide variety of ecological and economic settings. Steiner's collected works make up 400 volumes, including his writings, about 40 volumes, and over 6,000 of his lectures, plus his artistic work. He lectured throughout Europe and England. Trained physicists, biologists, medical doctors, architects, philosophers, and other scholars claim to find creative genius in Steiner's comments of detailed aspects of each of their fields. The Rudolf Steiner Social Finance is a pioneering nonprofit financial services organization dedicated to transforming the way the world works with money to bring about positive real-world change. It was founded in 1936 as the Rudolf Steiner Foundation. Rudolf Steiner Foundation for Social Finance began making loans to Steiner-inspired organizations in 1984. In partnership with a community of investors and donors, it provides capital to nonprofit or for-profit social enterprises addressing key issues in the areas of food and agriculture, education and the arts, and ecological stewardship. In 2004, the Rudolf Steiner Foundation of Social Finance had $70 million in assets. Rudolf Steiner died March 30, 1925, at the age of 64. The next section is my placement on the path for Rudolf Steiner. I would place him as an initiate approaching or having taken the third initiation. At this stage, identification with the self is occurring. This causes them to work with a plan and to bring the service of the plan into being. This is ever the aim of the initiate members of the hierarchy. They understand, express, and work with the plan. The work Steiner accomplished throughout his life has had impact worldwide, not only with his books and philosophy, but with the Waldorf schools, Camp Hill homes, biodynamic farming, and the Rudolf Steiner Foundation as well. All programs that are flourishing almost 90 years after his death. This seems to me to be evidence that he understood and was able to express his work in service of the plant. Now his rheology profile. His physical therapy, Ray.
Yvonne, hold on just one second.
Yeah.
Astrid, next slide, please. Thank you. Go ahead.
His rheology profile. His physical etheric ray, I picked ray 7. The characteristics of ray 7 are a designer of beautiful forms, good posture, and dignified. Steiner had a delicate and graceful body. He was an architect and designed 17 buildings, including the first and second Gotiums in Dornach, Switzerland. These buildings were intended to house significant theater spaces, as well as a school of spiritual science. Three of Steiner's buildings have been listed among the most significant works of modern architecture. His emotional ray, I picked ray 2. The characteristics of ray 2, it transforms emotionalism into intuitive wisdom. For a disciple, eventually a life will come when the inner call to service will be stronger than the desire for sensuous experience. The disciple will then cut all non-essential ties in order to give all that he has or she has in service. Steiner did give an awful lot in service. He has ray 2 strengths, understanding, wisdom, skillful communication, and facility in language. He thoroughly enjoyed people and socializing. The ray 2 wisdom type has clear perception, power to teach, love of pure truth, intelligence, power to illumine, clear understanding, the power to heal through love, sympathy, and compassion. This ray enabled him to make soul contact easily. It led him along the way of service. Mental ray, ray 4. Characteristics of ray 4 are a love of beauty, abundant creativity, musicality, sympathy, love of color, and a strong sense of drama. Right brain mental, entertaining, colorful, dramatic, intuitive, poetic, humorous. Steiner tells us in his autobiography, he says, I saw in the existence of art the entrance into the world of spirit within the world of sense. The true artist yields himself more or less consciously to the spirit. He was all of these things associated with Ray 4 as evidenced by his work, the Gotiums he built that were intended to be theaters, as well as schools of spiritual science. In his autobiography, he talks about himself and his second wife fostering the artistic element in the Anthroposophical Society, including architecture, plastic arts, painting, recitation, and drama. These were things he also built into the curriculum of the Waldorf schools. His rising sign is in Scorpio, Ray 4. Ray 4 gives us a fighting spirit and a capacity to grow psychologically and spiritually through constant crisis and struggle, and he had that in his life. He was misunderstood and persecuted, but he also had the love of beauty and the capacity to create. To create it that helped him overcome the struggles and crisis. I think he had all the strengths of Ray 4 and no weaknesses as far as I could see. His wife's eulogy at the end of his autobiography eloquently explains this for us. She says, his life consecrated wholly to the sacrificial service of humanity was requited with unspeakable hostility. His way of knowledge was transformed into a path of thorns, that he walked the whole way, and he mastered it for all humanity. He broke through the limits of knowledge. They are no longer there. Before us lies this road of knowledge, and the crystal clarity of thoughts of which this book itself constitutes an example. He raised human understanding up to the spirit. He permeated this understanding and united it with the spiritual being of the cosmos. In this he achieved the greatest human deed. The greatest deed of the gods, he taught us to understand the greatest human deed he achieved. How could he escape being hated with all the demonic entire of which health is capable, but he repaid with love and all the misunderstandings brought against him. His personality, Ray, I picked Ray 5.
Hold it just 1 second. Astrid, next slide, please. Thank you.
Personality, Ray, I picked Ray 5. Characteristics of Ray 5. Theology leading to a knowledge of reality, a realization of the soul and its potentialities, the power to recognize and contact the angel of presence, sensitivity to deity, to light and to wisdom, spiritual and mental devotion, the power to take initiation. He had a facility for math. He discovered things through investigation and research. He had a keen, focused intellect and had developed powers of analysis and discrimination. His autobiography states, "I may state positively that I never allowed my insight into the spiritual world to become a disturbing factor when I was engaged in the endeavor to understand science as it was then developed. In my own soul, I lived in a world that bordered on the outer world, but it was always necessary for me to step across a boundary if I wished to have anything to do with the outer world, as if through a door, in order to engage in this intercourse. This made it seem to me that each time that I entered into the outer world, I was making a visit. Yet this did not hinder me from giving myself up to the most vital participation with the one whom I was visiting. Indeed, I felt entirely at home while on such a visit. I had sought to prove in my book that no unknown lies behind the sense world, but within it lies the spiritual. And concerning the world of human ideas, I sought to show that they have their existence in the spiritual world. The reality of the sense world is hidden from human consciousness only so long as the soul perceives by means of the senses alone. I desired to create a spiritual natural science." And this sounds to me like a good description of his Ray 5 personality being guided by his soul. Trained physicists, biologists, medical doctors, architects, philosophers, and other scholars claim to find creative genius in Steiner's comments of detailed aspects of each of their fields. His soul, Ray, I'll pick Ray 2. Rudolf Steiner had many characteristics of a Ray 2 soul. Understanding, wisdom, empathy, sympathy and compassion, sensitivity, love of pure truth, power to teach and illumine, power to heal through love. I think he demonstrated these characteristics and strengths continuously throughout his life. The legacy of his books demonstrates the inflow of loving wisdom he had. His ability to lovingly and wisely teach and help people achieve their potential and become whole was evidenced by his work as a tutor, teacher, and writer, also tutoring and healing. He healed a hydrocephalic boy who later became a physician. He had an innate, intuitive understanding of people and helped them through his work to achieve self-realization and illumination. He acted from a very early age with love, wisdom, and enlightenment. He describes for us his most joyous activity of being in love, and at the same time showed his love of a divine wholeness and all humanity. And the act of chakras. The first transference, as you had mentioned, is sacral to throat chakra. Evidence of this would be in his writing, teaching, and tutoring career. Steiner's collected works make up about 400 volumes, including his writings, about 40 volumes, and over 6,000 of his lectures and his artistic work. The second transference is solar plexus to the heart chakra. Through the unfolding and use of the heart center, the love of wisdom, Ray 2, is similarly brought into use, and the love of God is seen working out in the man's life. During this period, we find the intelligent and creative, or the powerful man, will come to the zenith of his personality life. The centers below the head will be all active and functioning, but the centers below the diaphragm will be subordinated to and controlled by those found above. The Ajna center is vivid and potent, and the throat center is intensely active, and the heart center is rapidly awakening as the third initiation is approached and control should increase. I believe this is where Steiner was when he died, approaching or at the third initiation. He started Camp Hill Homes for Children and Adults with Developmental Disabilities. Waldorf Schools for Young Children. He helped develop curative therapy of flowing movement called Eurythmy, dance yoga. I believe these show a loving heart to serve humanity. The Ajna seat is the seat of the personality power and represents the highest form of creative intelligence in man. I believe that Steiner had a fifth-ray personality working through a fourth-ray mind. Rays 4 and 5 come through the Ajna center. It is the organ of imagination. The Ajna-ruled personality is intelligent and effective on the physical plane. And later, when the disciple can hold the mind steady in the light, soul energy can flow into the heart. The third transference is the base chakra to the crown center. The crown center is dominant after the third initiation. It is the final transference of all the bodily and psychic energies into the head center through the awakening of the base center. Man is controlled only from above by the soul. It is unclear to me if Steiner had completed this transfer, although I did see clear evidence of an active throat, heart, and Ajna center. And on the next page, there's this chart that B.L. is going to go over. And in summary, I hypothesized that Rudolf Steiner had at least was at least a second-degree initiate, and I think he was either close to achieving or possibly already had a third-degree initiate. The work that he accomplished throughout his life has had impact worldwide, not only with his books and philosophy, but with Waldorf schools, Camp Hill homes, biodynamic farming as well. I hypothesized that Rudolf Steiner's rays were the soul ray 2, personality, ray 5, mental, ray 4, emotional, ray 2, physical, ray 7. The ray that he most often demonstrated was his soul ray, ray 2, that of teacher and healer. He spent his whole life teaching, tutoring, and writing books. His sun sign is in Pisces, the world savior. Rays 2 and 6 come through it. The exoteric ruler of his sun are Neptune, ray 6, and Jupiter, ray 2. Strengthening this connection with the two Piscean rays, and then further emphasized because Neptune is in his home sign of Pisces in Steiner's chart. The esoteric ruler of Pisces is Pluto, ray 1, and Pluto is in Taurus, ray 4, in his chart, and is sextile his sun in Pisces and trine his earth in Virgo. These relationships emphasize the evolutionary function of Pisces to transform consciousness. Pluto's job as an esoteric ruler is to be destructive and cut ties that are not productive to soul expression, and this creates both strife and loneliness. Steiner talked about his loneliness in his autobiography and endured much strife in his life. He was attacked in Germany while giving a lecture in 1921. Adolf Hitler accused him of being a Jew and a tool of the Jews. Incidentally, he was baptized Catholic. German extremists called up a war against Steiner, and he had to flee Germany to save his life. This passage from his autobiography sums this up for me on his loneliness. He says, "So it was at this time for me, in all that pertained to my spiritual perceptions, I had to work entirely alone. I lived in the spiritual world. No one in my circle of acquaintances followed me there. My intercourse consisted of excursions into the worlds of others. This was then the nature of my loneliness. Loneliness was my experience also in relation to many other personalities with whom I felt myself united by bonds of friendship, but who nonetheless energetically opposed my spiritual life." He has Scorpio rising, the sign of the world disciple, and Rudolf Steiner came from the soul-sensitive disciple to the all-embracing perspective of a world savior. He had to overcome his sensitivity, and he often worried, should he remain mute about the spiritual world that he saw and knew? He demonstrated that he did overcome this in the last third of his life. He said, "An essential part of the general ideas in which I then expressed my views consisted in the fact that the sense world did not pass with me as true reality. When anyone spoke to me of the limits of knowledge, I saw there, and the admission that he did not experience spirituality within himself, the true reality, and for this reason could not rediscover this in the perceptual world. I desire to make clear that true reality is to be sought not by such a breaking through from without, but by sinking down into the inner life of man. Thank you.
Thank you, Yvonne. That was beautiful. And I have to say, I limited her. I told her she could only have 20 minutes, and I made her really cut a lot of the of his bio. So if you have an opportunity to read the full paper, it is there on the Student Union, and it's beautifully done. She countered, when I told her she had to cut it, she countered with, next slide, please, Astrid. Okay, then you do this. But this was actually from her paper, so she did talk in her paper about the correlation for Rudolf Steiner and the throat chakra, Ray 3, the earth for average man and for disciples and initiates. It's Ray 3, Saturn, and this goes very well with the volume of books that he wrote. This chakra was very active for him. He actually has his Earth conjunct Saturn in Virgo in his 10th house, that 10th house of his career, Virgo of discrimination and analysis. And both of these throat chakra planets conjunct there. So that was, I think, very powerful, which is why I could not leave this out. The heart chakra, Ray 2 for the sun and Ray 2 for Jupiter, demonstrated through Jupiter as one of the rulers of his Piscean sun. Okay, I can't say enough about how beautiful this man was. And of course, that's going to make me cry, and I'm sorry. But Ajna Center, Ray 5 Venus, in both cases, you know, Venus is the solar angel, and I think we saw that through him. This is his personality demonstrated through Venus in Aquarius, both of them Ray 5, you know, the Ray 5 planet in that Ray 5 sign. Venus is also directly opposite Jupiter there at his ICMC axis. His chart again, please, Astrid. Thank you. See, he's got so many great things going on astrologically. He has that T-square between his Saturn and Earth opposite his Sun and Uranus over there in the 8th house. So this is the intuition for him. This is his life's work for him. This is his Dharma. This is his karma for him. You know, that's what the Earth stands for. That's what, you know, the Dharma, the Saturn stands for the karma. It stands for the opportunity to make that. It's in that 10th house of his career. It's opposite his Sun. He was born, or his Saturn there, that very powerful personality axis that he has of the Sun-Earth. And then he's got that beautiful mystic rectangle there with the Sun-Earth axis and the ascendant-descendant axis. That those are soft aspects. The T-square there was hard aspects. Those are the challenges, and he rose to those challenges. The that rectangle that you see there, the blue rectangle, those are soft aspects. Those are benefits that he's brought with him from a past life and opportunities to use them. So he was able to take them and use them to make it through the challenges and to leave us this wonderful body of work. Okay, Leonie, do you have anything that you'd like to say about Rudolf Steiner? Are you on self-mute?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me now?
Yes, thank you.
Congratulations, Yvonne. That's not only was it is it a great paper, but I really like the way you presented it. It was really clear and very, very interesting. And it's really a super model to put on the video so that other people coming along can see a really good paper, and a lot of students especially those who didn't go to university have not really written papers, and so, you know, having this model I think is really wonderful. I was looking at a Rudolph chart. I actually got him up and really loved everything that you were saying. What I noticed, first off, is I looked at the sun and the moon, and he was born just after a full moon. And we see that his sun sign is in Pisces and his moon sign is in Virgo. And I may touch on some of the things you touched on, Bill. With a Virgo moon there, he's has a past tendency to be too anal in a way, to get too focused in detail. The judgment and critical mind, it really indicates that on one level that his concrete mind was very strong and probably his Ajna, but he needed to lift that into the crown chakra and be opening that up. His sun is in Pisces, and on the higher level, Pluto is the not only the soul ruler, but it's the hierarchy ruler. And so we have here the potential for him, via his sun sign, to really raise his consciousness up and to that, not only from the discipleship level, obviously he was born a disciple. Whether he reached that initiate level or not, I think is a real potential because of his world service. Where did you place him again, Yvonne, on the path?
Well, 2 years later, looking at it, I think he was probably a third degree initiate.
Well, I would have to agree. I would agree with that. I don't think he was born that, but I think that one of the criteria of initiates is global service. And he's had a terrific impact on the world, not even on those who aren't so interested perhaps on the studies of consciousness, which he specialised in, but as the gardening techniques he used and everything else like that. So he has had just the most amazing man, and I would definitely, in reflection and listening to what you've said and looking at the chart, think that he had reached that. The fact that he was possibly a second initiate when he was born is because of Scorpio rising, which, as we know, is really associated with that initiation. Not to say that everybody who's born with Scorpio rising is a second degree initiate. I would say that most are not. But when we look at this man, the quality of himself and the quality of his life, I think that we can really see it working out. And I just think it's so beautifully illustrated that the two rulers of Scorpio, Pluto and Mars, are opposite that ascendant in Taurus, the other sign, emphasizing the struggle, the greater burning ground, because we've got fiery planets here, a Ray 1 planet, Ray 6 planet, Mars is a ruler of Aries, and so we have a lot of fire there in a sense, and indicating that he was going to be walking through that greater burning ground. He was going to be thrown into struggle. As we know, with Scorpio, their life is one of struggle. And as DK says, it's because of this great battle between the dweller on the threshold. And I believe that Pluto potentially is one of the symbols of that. Saturn, I would say, is the other one. And I think he says Saturn somewhere. But nonetheless, the great battle between the soul and the personality, I believe, was fought out in his life. And it's very interesting to hear him talk about his loneliness, because that's so very often, especially in the second initiation, which is a precursor to the fourth initiation, which is where real isolation and when you really have to stand alone takes place, that he was going through that earlier experience regarding the second initiation, I believe, leading to third. And so I see that that's beautifully played out in the chart as well. I've just run out of thought just for this part of it. Bill, did you want to add anything so I can just reflect again?
Yes, what you were saying about Pluto and Mars, you know, that ties in with that mystic rectangle that I was talking about. You know, these were the crux of what he had to work with, and they're very hard planets. Pluto is, Mars is, Saturn is, but the aspects that he's got with them are not hard aspects. So yes, I think that was for him that opportunity to use those planets as the transformational things that we know they can be used for. So I agree with everything that you've said, and I think that his configurations, you know, really support that. He's got that beautiful trine between his ascendant and his sun that show, you know, the ability for them to work well together. Just as he's got that full moon that you mentioned, where the Piscean sun, you know, the heart of his sun as a disciple, is shining fully on the work that he needs to do, the remaining work, little that it might be, that he needs to do there with that moon to bring it into line with the rest of the work that he was doing. So I just think this whole thing shows that probably was, in fact, the life where he took the third initiation.
Well, that's great. Just another thought. Thanks for that, Bill. That's super. Just another thing, a little bit about his karma. And I'm looking at the 10th house with Saturn there, and from the full moon, of course, the moon is not long past Saturn, so he was born a few hours after the full moon. Well, let me see, 7 is 13, yes, just a few hours after the full moon. And I'm seeing there with Saturn in the 10th house that he has some karmic responsibility. We can see the planets retrograde, which gives it a double emphasis, because as we know, a retrograde planet, especially the outer ones, have so much about relearning a lesson that was not successfully met in a previous incarnation. I suspect with Saturn being in Virgo and Saturn ruling the third house of lower communication, that he was a messenger of some sort of a lower emphasis on the teachings, perhaps, with that Virgo. And he came in to redress. I had a responsibility to do this, to redress some of the perhaps misperceptions that he had put forward due to his narrow concrete mind thinking in this life. And that was the opportunity which was offered to him. Saturn in that 10th house can raise us up and knock us down, and or raise us up and give us the rewards of the responsible work of, if we come from a point of integrity and spiritual honesty. And the fact that his work has so endured, and as Bill turned out, that's part of the mystic rectangle. You know, we can see that his work's endured, and a lot of stuff to work with. The other thing is, I work with an aspect, I forget what it's called, it's one of those strange ones that is about 15 degrees away from the opposition. And I use it in medical astrology. Well, he's got that between Saturn and Venus. It's U, I think it's U5 when you put it into the, technically into solar fire. And there we have in the previous life some repudiation, because Venus is in Aquarius, of perhaps the higher teachings and him carrying the responsibility as a teacher. He probably was very influential in his previous life, if we have our hypothesis that he was a second degree disciple, you could say. He would have been very influential. And so coming into that's an, just to correct that, I see that as being really powerful part of his work. It's very, very interesting because when Saturn's up the top of the chart, we know that Jupiter is closer to the midheaven. But when Saturn's at the top of the chart, really, we have a heavy responsibility to carry. And sometimes people's lives aren't that happy in a sense because they have to carry a heavy load, and sometimes they run afoul of authority figures, especially if they're hard aspects. And he has. He's got some hard aspects. That's square to Uranus and the opposition, the T square. That's really powerful. And that tells us about his battles, especially with the theosophists over the philosophy, New Age philosophy. He wanted to move forward. And so, but he really, okay, he dealt with all that stuff. But the fact that he has left this amazing legacy for us, and here's the Scorpio related to the eighth house, inheritances and legacies, really playing out there. We can see that, and Saturn is sextile in my chart. I use a wider orb for sextiles. There we can see the promise that if he did bring out this higher philosophy, if he did the inner work on himself, and if he did correct those perhaps misperceptions when he was working more so from the lower concrete mind, then he would be rewarded with having his legacy last through the decades as they have. The interesting thing, that battle shown that he was going on within himself, manifested with his battle with theosophical people, and not only theosophical people, just ordinary folk. Sun is in the fourth house and in represents generally humanity as a whole. So, I mean, his life was going to be a battle. There's no two ways about it, but out of that he would be transformed. Uranus, right on the eighth house, cusp, the house of transformation. Okay, I've run out of talk for a while, BL.
Well, I think that I think that's actually enough. I think we've covered an awful lot, and Yvonne did an excellent job. I would like to ask if any of our attendees have any questions that they would like to ask about either Rudolf Steiner or comments they would like to make, or other things in the webinar in general. Okay, it doesn't look like it. So, yes, we do. Hold on 1 minute. Please go ahead, Brenda.
Yes, hi, everybody. I'd just like to thank Yvonne for sharing her paper, because it's helped me immensely to put into my own mind, because I'm one of those people who don't have university knowledge of writing papers. So as Yvonne was reading her paper, I was able to, you know, clarify in my own mind for my own paper, you know, how it's going to look. So, and so, yes, I'd just like to say thank you, Yvonne.
You're very welcome.
Okay, I think that's going to be it then for tonight, if nobody else has any other comments.
I would just like to say I'm very grateful to you, BL, and Yvonne, for really putting this together. It's going to be an immense help to our students. And thank you, Brenda, for just mentioning that as well. A lot of work went into this, and it was really clear, I thought, very clear and simple, which is, you know, for a lot of our students who are trying to pull together all these threads of the esoteric sciences, can be very a complex subject. So very, very grateful. Thank you very much.
I would just like to add one thing. Yvonne, would you please like to share with all of the students who will watch this in the future and are here now, exactly how much astrology or esoteric psychology background you had when you entered Great Quest?
None.
Thank you.
Very, very little. BL has been my mentor. And she's, you know, you have to help ask your mentors for help. She's been such a big help. And I'm still learning, I'm still a student, I'm reading Leone's book, Eva Smith's given many lectures for me, and I love astrology, it's just hard for me to, you know, you have to do it, I think, all the time to retain it, but I love it, and I think it's fascinating the more you learn. And I highly recommend, this was just a brief overview of my paper, really, it was like 22 pages, and BL had me down to 20 minutes, which I had to practice for hours to get it down to 20 minutes. I recommend reading the whole thing. And if you have time to read The Story of My Life, and he's written so many wonderful books, Knowledge of the Higher Worlds. Like I said, he followed dead people into the next worlds, and he's gone to these higher worlds, and he's seen them, and he's described them. He's so fascinating. He's just a wonderful person. And I agree with Beale. I cannot read a lot of his quotes with almost crying. They are so beautiful. So, thank you.
Well, thank you. And okay, I think that will be it for tonight. Remember, you all have the opportunity to come back and say, yes, I would like to present my DHY paper. You have to do a different DHY paper. You can't work on someone you've worked on before. However, comma, if you have a paper that you would like to present in this context, and if it meets the criteria of, you know, the general information for this particular paper for the DHY, for Great Quest 2, then you can do it. For example, Brenda, I know you've got an excellent paper on Helen Clark that you did last year, and I think it covers a lot of the elements of this. You have, 6 months to get your DHY paper done, but if you would like to present Helen Clark, we could do that within the next month or two as part of this webinar series while you're continuing to work on your next paper. Just some thoughts, you can email me later on that. I hope I didn't put you on the spot. Okay, anything else before we close? All right, then. Thank you, everybody, for attending. As usual, this will go up on Makara in a few days, and the slides will be there. And again, I can't thank you enough, Yvonne. That was an excellent paper, excellent presentation. Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Good night, everyone.